Philippians chapter 3. If you're like me, you've already grabbed the packet for tonight for the business meeting. And what I like to do on a business meeting night is I just elaborate on the passage of Scripture that I start my report off with. And so that's from Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. As we spend a few minutes in it tonight, just bless us and encourage us and show us your will. May your Holy Spirit have free reign as we yield unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Philippians has some fantastic passages of Scripture that you might call classic passages. Chapter 2 has the great passage on the deity of Christ. Chapter 4 is just full of passages that are very noteworthy, such as the peace that passes all understanding through prayer, and then the things our minds ought to think upon, and then also I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Just some tremendous passages of Scripture. And chapter 3 is no different in this passage. We're just grabbing kind of the towards the back end of it, a couple of verses, because we don't have time to deal with the whole passage. That would take several weeks of looking at, because it's just chock full of richness, and God just speaks to us so much through it. But in these two verses, there's at least four things that I see. And what we find, the first thing that he's talking about is Paul realizes he hadn't finished yet. He says, I'm not done. God's not through with me. And that's what he says at the first part of verse 13 when he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, we may not understand just from this verse what he means by apprehended, but if we look back in the couple previous verses, he says, using that word apprehended in the sense that God had a plan for his life, and so the Lord saved him and sent him off to do that plan. And so as he uses it here in verse number 13, he says, I don't figure I've done everything God called me to do. I don't figure I've accomplished everything God wants me to accomplish in my life. And so he's saying, when he says that I'm not done yet, I haven't yet finished my course. Now, a little bit later in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he's going to say, I have finished my course. I've finished my fight. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And so at that point in time, he's come to the conclusion that this is what God had for me, and I've done it all. It's time to pass the baton. But here in Philippians, both of them were written from the prison jail, although several years apart. Here in Philippians, he says, I'm not done yet. And that's what we need to keep in mind, that if God has us breathing his air, if he has us walking his earth, if he continues to feed us with his food, we've got to realize that I am not yet done. That God isn't finished with me, that God has a purpose, God has a point, God has a plan for my life. And when we consider it as a church entity, God still has the lights on, he still has the heat on, he still has missionaries that are supported through our church out on the field. And so I believe that God's not yet done with us as a church. Yes, he's accomplished a lot of great things through this church and its history. And praise God for the history that we have. But you know, there's better days ahead and glorious things ahead that God has planned for us. God's not yet done with us. And so we just need to keep that in mind, that God still has a purpose and a plan for us. The second thing we find here, not only is Paul not yet finished, but he goes on to say, but this one thing I do. In other words, Paul is saying, I remain focused. I remain focused. He wasn't drawn away by distractions and by other things. He stayed focused on the will of God for his life. He says, it's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And so that's exactly what he's saying. He says that this one thing I'm focused on is doing God's will, being where God wants me to be, saying what God wants me to say, being God's man, God's tool, in whatever situation he chooses to place me in. Now remember, he's in jail, a Roman jail. And it wasn't a very comfortable thing that he was enduring. And yet he was full of joy because he was doing what God wanted him to do, where God wanted him to do it. If the Apostle Paul was still on the missionary trail, his life would be so busy he wouldn't have time to sit down and record Scripture. And so God said, Paul, I've got a plan for you, and that plan involves a number of books in the Bible. And I need you to sit down for just a little bit and get the job done. And so Paul was here in the Roman jail recording Scripture for you and me. He remained focused on what God's will for his life was. He wasn't distracted by the injustice of his imprisonment, nor was he distracted by the difficulty of that imprisonment. He just remained focused on God and God's purpose for his life. You know, there's times in our lives where God puts us flat on our back. And it's easy to get distracted by the discomfort or by the pain or whatever it may be. But we need to keep in mind that God still has a plan for us, that God has a purpose for that. Otherwise, he wouldn't have allowed that in our lives. And so it behooves us to remain focused on whatever that goal may be. There may be those in your life, whether it be your church family or your biological family or friends or neighbors, that are in need of prayer. And in your normal routine of life, you'd be too busy to set aside the time to pray for them as he would have you. And so maybe that's what it's all about. Maybe it's that you haven't had enough time to fellowship with him and in his word and in prayer for your own personal needs. And so he puts you on your back to get you to get stop being distracted by the busyness of life and just simply settle down and spend some time with him alone in his word and in prayer. Paul didn't get distracted. He said, I haven't finished yet, and I remain focused. And so the third thing we see then is he reaches forth. He reaches forth. He's not distracted by past accomplishment. He's not even satisfied by past accomplishment. He's greedy for more, but it's not more for another feather in his hat, another notch on his belt. What Paul was jealous for more about was for the glory of God and for the souls of man. And so that drove him. And we can follow it throughout the Pauline epistles that Paul was driven by a burden for the lost and the glory of God. And so he's constantly reaching forth for greater, bigger, and better things. He never reached the place of complacency. And I preached a message before, and I spent a number of years, and you may not remember it, but I think I titled it, How to Kill a Church. And in that message, I mentioned that the greatest killer of churches is complacency. Complacency is putting an RIP tombstone at the church door of more churches than anything else. It's not infighting. It's not people splitting or church splits, but it's complacency. Complacency is that which kills more churches than anything else. It's not sin in the membership or even in the pastoral position. That's not what's killing the most churches. It's not financial issues that's killing churches. It's not the government and their obstruction of a church. And they do obstruct our country in certain ways. That's not what's killing churches. It's not facilities. I know some churches that are just doing on fire for God and doing a great work that have terrible facilities. You wouldn't want to go to church in these places. And yet God's using them. What's killing churches is complacency, being satisfied to where we've attained. It's killing more Christians, being satisfied at the spiritual level I've reached. Paul never got to that place. Paul was constantly reaching forth. And the picture, as you know, especially described there in the next verse 14, I press toward the mark. The picture here is of that distance runner that is nearing the finish line, and they're sprinting that last part of the way, that last leg of the race, and they're stretching forward to be the first one to break that tape stretched across the finish line. You see, Paul wasn't going to quit till he was there. And he knew that there was death. And so Paul said, I'm going to finish this race all the way through. In the Baptist Boys Battalion, we have it's called a shuttle run. It's a 30-foot, I don't know that you'd call it a track, but you measure 30 feet out and you put two beanbags down at 30 feet from the starting line. And the kids have to run down as fast as they can, grab one big bag, bring it back, go back for the other one, and then cross the finish line, and they're done, and they're timed. They have to reach a certain time if they want to advance in their rank. And just about every one of those kids, when they get about halfway back on that last leg, slow down. And that's just the way it is. That's our natural mentality. I'm almost done. I'm going to coast into the finish line. And unfortunately, we use that same mentality in our Christian life because so many other things fit into our lives, because our lives get busier, because not only do we have kids, but now we've got grandkids. And we all know that when you retire, you get busier than you were before you retire. At least that's what everyone tells me. Maybe one day I'll find that out. And our body doesn't work like it used to work. And it's harder to get out of bed. And so that natural inclination is I'm just going to coast from here to the end. Now, Paul wasn't a young man when he penned these words. And as I said, Paul was in far less than ideal circumstances. But Paul was a fighter. And Paul said, I ain't quitting. Paul said, I ain't getting complacent with what I've done. He says, I'm going to reach forth and I'm going to press toward the mark. And so we see that Paul reached forth. The fourth thing we find, we saw that he hadn't finished yet. He remained focused. He reached forth. But Paul, what kept him going is he always remembered the future. In verse number 14, he talks about that prize. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what kept Paul running. That's one of the things that motivated him, that kept him doing what God wanted him to do, kept him yielded to God's will. Because he didn't want to do anything that would ever jeopardize or tarnish that prize. The Bible, in a couple different places, talks about a believer earning rewards and then losing them because of complacency or because of becoming backslidden. Paul did never want to fall into that trap. Paul wanted every prize he had ever earned. And so Paul wasn't going to give up because he remembered the future, and he knew that the future was as bright as the promises of God. And he knew that the promises of God never fail, and that the promises of God are worth striving after and are worth claiming in one's life, and that God wants to do great things with us, and he knew God wanted to do great things with him. God wants to do great things with us as individuals, and He wants to do great things with us as a church. And our future is, as individuals and as a church, our future is as bright as the promises of God. And so we have to be careful about letting that future get tarnished and become dim by the cares and concerns of the world. If you remember the parable that Jesus talks about, the four different types of soil, that third type of soil that had weeds in it. You remember the seed went in there and it grew up, but it didn't bear fruit. Why didn't it bear fruit? The soil was good. The sunshine was sufficient. Everything it needed was supplied. But what was wrong with that soil were those weeds. And he identifies those weeds as the cares and concerns of life. God just says, march forward. Leave those cares and concerns on God's doorstep. Because God has promised, and there's the future as bright as the promises of God, God has promised that He would care for every one of those needs. We may not see any way it could possibly happen other than the promise of God. You know, that's living by faith. So many churches stumble at the promise of God and refuse to believe it. And because of faith, drop into complacency. And with that complacency is discouragement, because they failed to believe the promises of God. An exciting church is a church that takes the promises of God at face value and just marches forward based on those promises. And when they can't see any other step other than that promise, they step on that promise and find God is always faithful. Paul said he kept pressing on and reaching forth because he remembered the future, that prize God had waiting for him at the end of the course. God's promises and God's prizes are always worth striving after. How about you tonight? Are you reaching forth as the Apostle Paul was, or are you figuring, well, God's done with me, I'm finished, just because I'm not a spring chicken anymore? I remember being told of a church in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan that just about closed the doors. It was just full of a bunch of retirees. That's all they had, were retirees. And those retirees decided, you know what? We've got a few years left. Only a few, but we've got a few. And so we're going to put everything we've got into this church and see what God will do. And at the time that I was told that about that church was a vibrant, thriving church. It took about between 5 and 8 years. But those folks invested their lives in that church. And that church responded because God's promises are always faithful. My own home church. Now, I was never in that desperate of a situation. But when I got saved, I came in right at a time where, and I've told you this before, where the people that had served God all their lives retired in the business world and retired in the work of God. And it almost killed the church. The church wound up going down to missions status. Now, they still had about 25, 30 people attending, and some of them were younger people. So it wasn't as desperate as the church in the Upper Peninsula. But if we retire from God's work, we might as well put Ichabod above the church door. The glory has departed. Let's not be that way. Let's be like Paul, because the future is as bright as the promise of God. No room for discouragement, just excitement and enthusiasm as what will God do now. Father, we thank you for your word. We're so grateful for your promised blessings. May we be faithful to claim those promises and see you work in our midst as individuals and as a church family. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.